Why, hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going? It's me. It's the Franchise MC, and welcome to the arena featuring the Franchise MC, only on Gabnet, the Great American Broadcast Network. It is Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Western, which is why you are hearing my voice on your airwaves right now. We'll be together for approximately the next hour. The arena is a place where we can battle it out over whatever sports topics we feel like. If you would like to join our citizen panel, we generally record around 7:45, 8 o'clock Eastern, 4:45, 5 o'clock Western. Head on over to gabnet.net. Click on that Zoom logo on the right-hand side that connects you into the waiting room. You can see us. We can see you. It's the best way. It's fantastic. However, if you cannot join us at that time, I get it. Life is busy. You can leave any questions, comments, concerns, dad jokes, whatever you'd like to leave for us, facebook.com/thefranchisesarena. You can email thefranchisemc30@gmail.com or even hit me up on the X, as franchisemc30 is my handle on there. So you can reach out, we'll respond and everything. It's fantastic. But again, Zoom is the best way for you to be a part of our citizen panel, because my hope, as always, is that this can be a sports show where we do get to include everyone. Whether you are a diehard sports fan with some tattoos to prove it, maybe you're just hoping to participate in a conversation, whatever it is that you would like, we'd like to be able to provide that for you. So join us, why don't you? All right, let me go ahead and bring in my official co-host, the gentleman with the greatest introduction in sports internet radio history. It is my pleasure to present to you all the one, the only, the Blake Show.
Well, it's the Blake Show.
He is back again. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, my man. How are you?
Excellent. I am doing well. I mean, we're in that like really, really weird 2 days of the year where there's like no sports going on at all because we just had Major League Baseball's.
World Cup. Everybody say, let's go and watch the World Cup.
My complete apologies. I do apologize for that. I did forget about the World Cup, and I have the bracket loaded.
We're not in it anymore. Well, so it's
and they got the event. Remind me, they got the event done. It was done early today, wasn't it? It was on the matchup between Argentina and was it England?
Fucking, oh sorry.
You can say it. We're not FCC.
Bloody brilliant.
Okay.
Game.
And that was the matchup
yesterday. Okay, so just for our people watching. Oop. Okay, so Spain played France yesterday in the semifinals, mm-hmm. And Spain, in all terms of sports, when you are compact and you have played with the same players, it's like a fucking all-star team.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And we talked a lot about that last week on the show, like the difference between Team USA and a lot of these other, mm-hmm. these other teams out there. And remind me, last World Cup, the final, what wasn't the final, France and Argentina? Was that the
yes. final?
Okay. I thought so. Okay.
Yes. So the complexity of it is just the fact that that international team and Argentina's mm-hmm. international team, France's, England, they don't just play in Copa America like these other tournaments where they get a chance to. So it's like literally you have all the all-stars from your country, but they play together like for over half the year.
Exactly. And like we talked about last week, you might have a player like a Messi or an Mbappe that may play in a different league or something like that.
Messi was Black Mamba today. And in Kobe's honor, the winning I just don't watch very many people that are that special
for
with
sure.
the ball.
Totally.
But I'll tell you the play, and you can watch the replay,
okay?
So It was 1-1. Okay. Or no, it was 1-0 after 55 or 56 minutes. And England was like, we got them. We got them. And you have to understand their history, too, Mark, is they do not like each other one freaking bit. And they always find each other in the later rounds.
Both of them very perennial also. And before you go to finish the point, like we were talking about kind of last week, you brought it up with the teams playing together for lots of matches and long periods of time. And then they have these players that may play on different teams and stuff that are plugging in. And so like we talked about the difference between these teams and like Team USA, where you have a bunch of players that play on a bunch of different teams throughout the world and then come together and kind of have to develop this chemistry. The team has the chemistry, and then when you have a player that's as smart as a Messi, as a, well, you know, throw like LeBron in that conversation or something like that, if you have a finely oiled team and then you plug in a superstar, for sure. Exactly.
Some days he wasn't on, and he was going to draw two people every time to him, and he was like, "Man, this guy can't miss a fucking bucket Now. Just give him the ball
for sure." And to that point, plugging in, you know, these superstar players onto this finely oiled machine is a lot different than bringing in players that may, and I'm not saying any of them are nearly the talent of Messi, but having these players that are like considered the top of the top American players coming together. And then having to create chemistry.
Yeah, and see, the thing with American team is anybody that watches a lot of soccer and is like around the world going soccer this, soccer that, because it is the most popular sport in the world. Mm. But it's, they don't, we have a problem in our country, Mark, where we give something a test run, and then we're like, on to the next thing if it doesn't work. To the next thing. We don't give them the chance to develop.
Very much so.
As teammates, they're all great athletes, and they're all getting paid all over the world to play a game they love. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, if you expect greatness, if I encourage you to pull up the last goal of today from Argentina and England, okay? So England went into a shell. It was 1-1. Mm. They had hit full time, which is 90 minutes, okay? They added on 9 minutes of extra time, okay? And at that point, it was after the 55th minute, in the 86th minute, 3 minutes before, or 4 minutes before full time, Argentina equalized. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the most memorable goals I've ever seen struck in outside 20. He was 25 feet away from the goal, and he just buttercupped something. It makes my skin crawl because I played and I had a few of those in my life where I was like, I don't even know how I did that. Was just so perfect.
And like you said, like in terms of the defense that they were playing, they were basically just do not concede a goal. We don't care about offense. We're going to get the ball and kick it away, and we'll let them then go attack.
And the thing about it, Mark, is you understand height advantage when you have five guys that are over 6'4" on the back line.
Yeah.
And you have three guys that are under 6' on the front, like, it's very rare that the small guy can get his head on the ball.
Very much so. As we saw with the Team USA loss to Belgium with the header that went in because the guy was a foot and a half taller than the defender that was on him inside of the box, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just, but I will tell you, if you watch that goal from the angle that they showed on live TV,
okay,
Messi put a ball like he was Victor Wembanyama from half court, like it was nothing. And you didn't, and the English defender, the taller guy, it barely goes over his head. Like, I mean, you could have put you could have put
Thank goodness for like the super slow motion. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to see it.
And it hits the Argentina guy who jumps up.
Okay. Okay. Because
like, I square in the forehead, and the goalie had no chance.
So Fernandez was the player on Argentina. For E. Fernandez is the player who it went off of that you're mentioning. Yeah. And again, like you said, at 85 minutes, is insane.
Yeah, no, like, that was the first one. And then the one in overtime, because they were in overtime, England was playing the same game. They were like, just don't give up a goal.
We can beat them in the shootout.
Something special. Or no, they were going to go, there were 30, they had, they called it 3 minutes later. There were 3 minutes until it went to another 30 minutes.
That's right.
It goes to overtime.
I forgot that they were, that it was in stoppage time, that they have the stoppage time before they then go into the overtime. And they do two overtime periods before there's the shootout then.
Yes. Okay. 15 minutes each.
Gotcha.
15 minutes each. They tried to shell it in. Wizard, if you watch the goal,
I'll definitely watch it when I go home and watch the highlights on TV.
So what happened, Mark, and I'll tell you, and I can explain it to you in point sense. So England was playing off. A guy in the middle had a clear little space. He got the ball, he kicked it, and if you watch it, it should have went in.
Okay.
His shot was perfect.
Okay.
It hit the post. It hit the bottom of the post on the right side.
Okay.
It hit a ground shot.
Low,
because everybody was lifting their legs up trying to block it. So he hit a really low shot. It hits the post and it bounces out to Messi.
Okay.
And they only have one guy on him when he always has and so he just smokes this guy. And bro, it's like if you were pinpointing a bullseye throwing darts, this was, you couldn't have struck this ball any better, put it where it needed to be any better. And the man is like LeBron of the soccer world. It's like he finds himself, he's now the leading member of FIFA with the most assists and goals in the World Cup.
Okay.
Like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
You're a special kind of special.
For sure.
To do that on the world stage.
Yep.
Because you're playing against everybody's all-stars.
Yes. No, for sure. And especially in the semifinal round, you can't have any kind of a fluke that gets you to that point. You can have a couple of good games and things like that might get, like we saw with the Team USA getting into the knockout stage in the round of 16, but you, from there, you have to go out there and do what you do, and clearly they were able to
But it's mad respect to the USA team to even get it that far, because
we talked
about it, it's like in the amount of generations that you're playing against, you're playing against people that have been doing this a long fucking time.
It takes
a little bit of time.
Yeah,
you can have athleticism And you could be the bigger, stronger, the tougher, whatever.
Yeah, but theoretically, you might even have the best player on your team, but you've got to be able to put it together for consistently the entire tournament against
And that's why they call it a team. It's like
for
if
sure.
If it was, you know, Messi versus one goalkeeper, I'd take Messi.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Every single time. If it was 1v1 basketball, Mark.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, I'd beat you.
Right.
But that's a joke. I like to get a little humor in there.
There we go. And it should be noted, Messi passed off the game-winning shot. It was credited to Lautaro Martinez with the 2 minutes into stoppage time. With the goal that would prove to be the game winner. So
And guess what, Mark?
Yeah.
They brought him in the 84th minute.
Oh,
he was
okay. Okay. Okay.
So they just brought in some. They said, give us the biggest guy that
at that point. At that point, fresh legs for sure. Yeah, exactly.
I'm calling it like this, Mark. Look. Calling in Paul Bunyan.
There we go.
The biggest guy we got.
There it is. There it is. And on the other side, Spain with a 2-0 win over France in the other matchup, setting up the championship match, which will happen on July 19th at noon. Again.
And since you're a stats guy and rare fact finder.
Yeah.
It's the first time ever in history that the World Cup or the world winner from the Americas is going to play the world winner from Europe.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
So Spain won the UEFA and the Europa Cup.
Okay. Cool. Hey.
Argentina's won the Copa America and the World Cup.
I was gonna say they are the reigning World Cup champions. So we'll see if they can repeat.
There is no quit in them.
No.
At 55 minutes, when England scored the goal, I could literally tell they were almost laughing inside. And I played a lot of soccer, Mark, and you know when someone gets something and you think it's kind of cheeky or cheap, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
now they're gonna lax up a bit, we're just gonna tire them the fuck out over and over again.
For
if
sure.
you give us a chance to attack, we're good enough to win every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what England did.
And I just looked it up. So they have only played each other one time before in World Cup play, Argentina and Spain. And that was all the way back 60 years ago in 1966 that they matched up against one another. So can't really read too much into how that game might impact this one. But that one was a 2-1 win for Argentina back in 1966.
That's when Maradona.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when Maradona played.
Okay. Okay.
One of the best soccer players ever to live.
So we will tune in next week. Actually, I will be. I will.
No,
I,
it's Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
it's on Sunday. It's on Sunday at noon.
We will cover the results of it though on our next.
Oh, show. I'm gonna because I watched the last 30 or I got home and it was. They had just came out of half and England scored. And I was like, oh, not these pompous asses. I don't like them. I don't like them. Well, it's just my preference.
Well, hey, no. Yeah, hey, you for sure. No, I totally get it. I saw this story and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. So this past weekend, that would be a futuristic golf league. The Genesis Scottish Open happened and underdog winner Tom Kim came in at the odds of 84-1 for the odds for him winning the tournament. However, somebody, I guess, knew something about the course and Tom Kim's game that we did not know, because they placed a wager on Tom Kim to win the Genesis Scottish Open. And the wager that they placed was a very healthy $47,700 that they placed on him at 84-1 odds. So I'll save you the math. So with his win, the better earned $4,006,800 with the winning bet on Tom Kim at 84-1 odds. And why this...
On the casino is fucking pissed.
Right? Right? They laughed. I bet whoever took that bet laughed. I bet even the machine, yeah, if they did it on the machine, he snickered. Like, the machine even glitched on him.
They're texting each other. Like, yep. Hey, bro, what's your next big...
But, yep.
Like, I want to get in on
exactly. And why this is absolutely funny is that Tom Kim himself only earned $1.575 million. And I say only, but $1.575 million, meaning that the better won more than 2.5 times what Tom Kim won for the tournament for saying, yeah, place my money on that guy.
They don't tell you to vote on the underdog anymore. Sometimes it's like, it's stupid when they're like 5,000 to 1.
Yep, right. And yeah. Yep.
I'm going to give that to some homeless guy or something. Yeah.
Best chance I can turn that into 400 and give it to 50 homeless people. But I couldn't imagine, like, yeah, he's 84-1 odds, but yeah, you know, I feel like he's got this one. I really feel like if there's one tournament he's gonna get, it's gonna be this one, and you wind up taking home $4 million. So pretty freaking awesome. The only person doing better than that financially in the sports world recently would be one Conor McGregor. So this past weekend, the big matchup between Conor McGregor and Max Holloway, their second matchup finally happened, and very much similar to the Ronda Rousey Gina Carano matchup on Netflix a little while ago, this one was over in a flash. However, it was over for a much different reason, in that it wasn't. Marty. Yeah.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah.
It's going to shut off again. Oh, I had it on the chart. Like, my phone gave me the temperature thing and it says you need it to cool down. And I'm like holding it up to the air conditioning.
I totally understand. I totally get.
I'm cooling down. I'll try to come back before the end of the show.
Okay, sounds good.
I think it might be the case.
Okay, sounds good, brother.
I'll try.
Okay, sounds good. If not, much love, and I'll catch you later. Much love. Okay. All right. So.
Okay.
The McGregor Holloway fight over after a much a little bit longer than the Ronda Rousey Gina Carano fight, the McGregor fight lasting 69 seconds. However, it was ended because on what seemed to be a lunging kick from McGregor at Holloway, that when he planted his foot, that McGregor was noticeably hobbled after the failed attempt. And as he kind of tried to continue and put some weight down on his injured leg, it was apparent to the referee that McGregor would no longer be able to continue in the matchup, and it was called due to injury. So there was rampant speculation afterwards about whether or not that McGregor may or may not have been hurt prior to his matchup, as I don't know if it was current photography. I haven't seen the story surface much other places, but apparently McGregor was seen at some kind of pain management service institution down before the fight. So there was some speculation that he may have already been hurt. I saw other speculation that after his walk down the ramp, that when he was taking off his shoe and getting ready to enter into the ring, that it was kind of awkward with him trying to get the shoe off, and that it may have in fact been at that point when he was injured. So there isn't a very definitive right now. It was definitely on the kick, but that seems to be where most people are trying to say that he was hurt on that. So we will have to stay tuned and see if there comes anything more of this. But the reason that I say Conor McGregor doing fine financially is that he, according to reports, earned $30 million for his role in the fight, which translates to about $435,000 per second that he spent during his fight in the octagon. So, anytime somebody wants to pay me $435,000 per second, we can definitely talk about what those seconds might include, because I would be open to at least having the conversation if that is the price tag for my time. All right. Let's see. I got a little bit more information. We talked last week that Fanatics Con is happening this week, starting actually tomorrow in New York. And there will be the Fanatics Games. And we talked last week about how various people from different sports and things like that. Well, I have a few more names. So on the list, besides Tom Brady and John Cena, who we talked about last week, Serena Williams, Novak Djokovic, Kevin Hart, James Harden, Logan Paul, Rob Gronkowski, and David Ortiz, other people including CC Sabathia, Noah Lyles, and Rhea Ripley will also be a part of it. So again, we talked about it. They will be competing in sports-themed challenges inspired by the NFL, NBA, MLB, FIFA, NHL, UFC, WWE, and golf, testing everything from kicking field goals and shooting three-pointers to penalty kicks and their own superstar wrestling entrance, complete with music that they have chosen by themselves. So it should be pretty entertaining. I, again, will be definitely looking at what the entrance themes are and who has some extreme fun. As we know, the signature, if anybody has watched WWE, you obviously know some of these signatures like John Cena and potentially Rhea Ripley. They, I assume, will do their standard, complete with pyrotechnics and things like that. So, again, we will definitely, or I will definitely be tuning in to that. One thing that we forgot to cover last week after the July 4th celebration, the big event that takes place every July 4th, the United States Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest was held, as it usually is. And the champion has returned once again as Joey Chestnut ate 66 hot dogs for his 18th title. He devoured 66 hot dogs in 10 minutes, which was 15 more than runner-up Patrick Bertoletti. And again, he won his second consecutive because of the fact that he was not allowed to participate 2 years ago due to the fact that he had a contract with a non-meat hot dog company. So he was not eligible by Nathan's to participate. And somebody with a great statistic, they added that if you add up Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Babe Ruth combined, I guess you could throw in Barry Bonds into that conversation with his zero titles, that them combined have 17 titles, while Joey Chestnut all on his own has 18 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating titles, not to mention the thousands upon thousands of other eating competitions that he has entered into and absolutely rolled everyone as he won the contest the last 10 times that he has participated. So pretty darn awesome. And again, no question about who the GOAT of competitive eating is. It is one Joey Chestnut, and the conversation is over. And if you're wondering, it does seem somebody did count the calories that he had in those 10 minutes with those 66 hot dogs and buns. It came out to roughly 17,820 calories, because they know that it is Nathan's hot dogs and Wonder Bread, Nathan's style buns. Apparently they make a Nathan's style their own bun. And he consumed a grand total of 38,940 milligrams of sodium, along with 1,716 grams of carbohydrates, 594 grams of protein. So an insane amount. And if you're also wondering, 890 grams of fat, 396 grams of saturated fat, and 1,320 milligrams of cholesterol. So absolutely insane. But the fact that he had 15 hot dog lead may have been the reason why he decided that he really didn't need to push himself to try and break his own record, since he finished 4.5 more hot dogs in his return to the competition last year. But again, pretty awesome, and congratulations to Joey Chestnut. All right, Major League Baseball, fresh off of its All-Star break, with a couple of days off before the quote-unquote second half of the season continues. But the Major League Baseball draft happening last week, and I've seen conflicting reports with the results and kind of grades for the Major League Baseball draft. However, the Giants, by someone who I I'll have to look up the name of the account. He is basically, his job is to analyze Major League Baseball's draft and the prospects, and everyone that is in it. And according to him, the Giants had the best draft in baseball. I saw Major League Baseball put them in kind of middle of the pack. I think they got a C plus from Major League Baseball. The gentleman whose job it is to analyze the draft and everything like that, he gave the Giants an A plus. They were the only team in his roundup that received an A plus on their draft. And so looking at a few of the picks that the Giants took, they took in the first round, they took two pitchers. Many speculated they might take a shortstop, but they selected UC Santa Barbara right-hander Jackson Flora, and he quietly had one of the best seasons last year pitching by any pitcher in college baseball. I had pulled up there looking at it, and he is instantly slotted in to the top 100 draft prospects at number 56 in Major League Baseball. So around the entire baseball, he is there, one of the highest players that was placed that had been freshly drafted for last week. Another pitcher that they took at the end of the first round, and they took with the pick that they received from trading Patrick Bailey to the Guardians, was left-handed pitcher Carson Bullamont. And so he is a high school prospect, but apparently he was number 24 draft prospect for entire Major League Baseball. He did not allow a run during his junior year at Southside Christian, which culminated in a 19 strikeout no-hitter to help deliver his squad a 3A championship. He was named the South Carolina Gatorade Player of the Year for striking out 135 batters in 55 and a third innings. So just to put that in context for people, he got 166 outs that year, and he got 135 of them via the strikeout. So insanely insane type numbers. Gentleman who graded, who I had mentioned earlier, he said that the Giants took two of his favorite value arms in the draft, meaning that they didn't necessarily play for the biggest school where they were receiving a lot of notification, but that they could potentially develop into some of the best pitchers in the draft in the area, potentially of all of the pitchers in their draft class, including the two that the Giants drafted ahead of them. They took a couple of position players that are ranked as having some of the highest upside with some low floor or some high floors as well. And one of the players that should be noted that they drafted was Barry Bonds' nephew, Peyton Bonds. I was secretly hoping that they would take him after I heard that he was available. And he plays and is very skilled. It's not just a nepo pick like some of the other teams. I think I saw that Andy Pettit's kid signed with the Yankees after probably going undrafted. They used a third round pick on Peyton Bonds. So we'll have to see in the future if he does wind up the way of his I guess it would be great uncle, his great uncle and his uncle, and put on the San Francisco orange and black in the future at some point. So we will most likely have to wait a few years in order to see anything from any of these players. But they did say that Jackson Flora does have a chance to skyrocket through with his arsenal of pitches and the way that he has mastered the mound already, that we could see him relatively soon comparatively to some of the other pitchers that were selected in the draft. On the during the All-Star break, the Home Run Derby, there was a slight change as they shifted the format from players having a certain amount of time limit to hit as many homers as possible, back to the traditional or more traditional, I should say, where they received a number of swings instead. I think I'd like to see them go back to the outs format where you get 10 outs. Here you get 10 swings per 20 swings in the round, and then on the last pitch you can't end on a home run, so you could keep going as long as you possibly could with the on the last pitch. So it was entertaining. In round one we had two players, Wilson Contreras and Jordan Walker, hit 13 homers apiece. Junior Caminario, Kyle Schwarber, the hometown guy, Junior Caminario for the Rays with 12 and Kyle Schwarber with 10. And they would make the semifinals, rounding out the eliminated from the first round, Munetaka Murakami with 9, Bryce Harper, another Philadelphia player, with 8, Jack Caglione for the Kansas City Royals also had 8, though he had one of the biggest home runs in the tournament, hitting it into the third deck in right field at the Philadelphia Stadium. And Yankees slugger Ben Rice, he had the least amount with 7. In the semifinals, they went to a head-to-head format, and Jordan Walker beat Junior Caminario 6 home runs to 5. Kyle Schwarber beat Wilson Contreras 9-8. And then in the finals, Kyle Schwarber would hit 11 homers with only his last out available. Jordan Walker only had 9 home runs on the screen, but he would rattle off 3 in a row to claim the home run title. And I believe he is either the youngest or the second youngest player to win the Home Run Derby. And he earned a $1 million bonus for winning the Home Run Derby. And like I noted with Tom Kim and his better, this Jordan Walker actually benefits from, because he does get the $1 million. However, it should be noted that his $1 million bonus is more than his entire salary for this season, as he is only being paid $799,400. Again, I say only, but he won a cool million, so he can now put a 1 in front of that for his earnings for this year. So we will see what happens in the Home Run Derby, if they like the format, if they try and tinker with it a little bit more for next year. One thing I thought was pretty funny was that Geico, in the outfield, they put a bunch of giant gloves on all of the seats. So there was a wave of blue in the outfield stands as fans had giant gloves to help protect them and help them catch home runs. Pretty funny there. On one of Junior Caminero's home runs, a young fan, as they have little leaguers that are in the field, kind of shagging balls and throwing them back in. One little leaguer showed off their hops and climbed up the fence to rob Junior Caminero of a home run. However, they did count it towards his total, as they it would not be fair for a home run robbery to potentially eliminate him from the competition. So I saw one article where somebody didn't realize that they actually did count his home run and said he was robbed of going to the finals because of it. But no, you could see the umpire behind home plate rectifying the situation, saying that it was a clear home run and it was added on to his score. Let's see here. We covered a few weeks ago when the Marlins celebrated a dog day, that there was one pooch that felt extremely left out. Jonah was the dog's name, and he was seen watching his fellow canine companion being served a hot dog and enjoying every salty second of it. And he has this look of dejection on his face. Well, the Marlins, after this popped up on social media, offered him a dream day at the ballpark. And I saw an interview with his owners, and his owners said that that's just how his face is. He perennially looks sad, like he is missing out on something. But his owner reported before his dream day that he did have a chance to have a hot dog. He doesn't eat them very often because they can have give him digestive issues, and his owners don't want to have to clean up after him. So I completely understand. I do remember my great uncle had a Chihuahua that he fed nothing but hot dogs to. And when we started helping him out and he came up here, we had to have the dog taken to the hospital because he had calcium stones from all of the additives in the hot dogs just built up in his system over the years. So I definitely understand, but it is good to hear that he was able to have his moment. And so the Marlins did reach out and connect with his owners, and his owners got to throw out the first pitch. And Jonah got some doggy treats from broadcasters. However, again, his owners noted that his sensitive tummy prevented him from having an additional hot dog on that day. But he did. And then along, this is kind of a cool note, along with celebrating Jonah, ticket proceeds from Sunday's game went to Miami's Animal Rescue, a local foster service to help abandoned pets find homes in Southern Florida. So good on them. That is fantastic to hear that they helped use the situation to also help out other pets in need. All right, we have made it through our time here on the arena. As always, it has been an absolute pleasure sharing the arena with you. If you could not join us, but you have something to say, we will be back same time next week. I encourage you to join us then. Please stay tuned for Alex Bennett's Ramble. He will be followed by The Intersection. I am your host, the Franchise MC. It has been an absolute pleasure sharing the arena with you. And as always, I encourage you to live your life like it's a 3-in-1 count and swing for those fences. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.